Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you're wondering, where can God possibly be? What can God possibly have up his sleeve? What can God possibly be thinking by allowing us to have the kind of nutty election year that we're having? Well, my friend, I'll tell you, beats the heck out of me. I have no idea, but when I have no idea, I like to turn to my good friend and co-host, Jim Barrier, knowing full well that he has no idea either, but any excuse to talk to my friend, I'll take it. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Hi, Bob. And, you know, I might be able to come up with a few answers to that.
That would be wonderful.
Crazy question, but it's a little deep, so we need to get further into the show, and then I will suggest some thoughts for you. But good to be here on the show, and you may have already said this or plan on saying this, but I told my congregation this morning, 2 weeks before the election in 1980, Ronald Reagan trailed Jimmy Carter by 8 points in the polls. And I told them that to say, don't believe everything you see on TV.
Well, and more recently, those that wanted Brexit were trailing in the polls as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, more often than not, the polls are correct. But the caveat I would add is that this has been an election year like no other. And every time they think Trump is finished, he kind of rises out of the ashes. So who knows? Anything could still happen.
Who knows? And I, as you know, I have a personal policy as a pastor that in the pulpit, I will not endorse a candidate. But I think they're pretty clear about who I won't vote for.
Well, they probably know that you're pro-life, and they probably know you believe that the Supreme Court should enforce the Constitution and not make up law from the bench. And they probably know you don't want us living under a dictatorship. I would think those would give them a few clues.
It would give them a few clues. And not only that, because I'm in Texas, as you know, half of my congregation carries concealed weapons. So they're big on the Second Amendment there. So, yeah, I don't really have to tell them, but I have urged everyone to vote and to not think that their vote doesn't matter. And I'll tell you a cool story. You know that I run a soup kitchen down there. We feed about 100 to 120 homeless people every Wednesday. And last week, one of the men waved me over. He's one of the regular guys. I said, "Well, how can I help you?" He said, "I want to vote." And I said, "Well, good." He said, "I've never voted in my life." And this is not unusual for some people. And he said, "What do I do?" And I got the address to the Register of Voters. I said, "I don't know if it's too late, but go down there, tell them you want to vote." And
Well, Jim, all he has to do is tell them he's not in the country illegally, and they'll sign him up immediately.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I'm not an American citizen. This way, sir, your vote matters.
Actually, I think he is. And he said, "Who should I vote for?" And I said, I can't tell you that, but you're a veteran. Figure it out."
No, yeah. That stellar care that the veterans have been getting lately.
Oh, gee. Well, anyway, we're on the verge, and we mentioned this before. If Hillary wins, one of the things we have to be concerned about again is that fairness doctrine. So we need to use our time wisely here, sir.
Oh, I mentioned last week, while we still have a First Amendment. We'll always have a First Amendment in the Constitution, but there'll be some judge that says free speech must be sensitive speech. Free speech must be tolerant speech. Free speech must be responsible speech, and we're the ones who will decide if it's all those things. That's the way it'll be.
Exactly. And you know, that I'm sure you've told your listeners this, but the next president could appoint as many as four justices.
Well, even if all they do is replace Scalia, that one liberal replacing Scalia, and we've already got the balance tipped.
Yeah, it's already tipped. And the truth is, with the supposedly conservative justices that have gone in, I've been a little disappointed sometimes on the lack of conservatism that seems to have come out of that.
Yeah, Ann Coulter calls them stealth conservatives, some of them.
Yeah.
Scalia was a good one. Roberts sold us down the river with that Obamacare thing.
Yeah, I've been really disappointed with him. But that's to me, and you remember a name, Francis Schaeffer.
Oh, of course.
And I had the privilege of
brilliant philosopher.
Week-long conference with Francis. He was in the country, and I got to go to a conference. I felt very privileged.
Oh, you didn't have to go out to Switzerland to go to one of his conferences, huh?
No. He came to us, and during that time, he said, the Christians in America need to understand that the most important branch of the government is the Supreme Court, because Congress can pass laws, the president is supposed to enforce the laws, but the court interprets the law, and that's where the danger is. And this was in the 70s.
And what boils my oil is the Supreme Court is not supposed to be the most important branch. It's supposed to be a co-equal branch,
right,
and it's not supposed to be allowed to overturn laws that the other two branches make. But since everybody thinks it does, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't really matter about the Supreme Court. Hillary ought to be able to win the election, God forbid. We should be able to survive her 4 years and say, well, we'll put in somebody better next time. Unfortunately, because of the Supreme Court, that's not the way it is anymore. And we will be ruled by an oligarchy if she wins this election.
Yeah, worse than it already is. And I think he was speaking on a practical level that that's just the way it's really working.
Yes.
When it gets down, because they say, well, it doesn't mean that, and they change things. And this was right on the heels of Roe v. Wade and some of the very crucial things that happened in the 70s. So I think the man knew what he was talking about, and I always heeded that warning. And every time there's been an election, I've voted thinking about, okay, the next person could potentially appoint someone to that court. And in this case, it's likely to be more than one, so which means they're in there for lifetime, so we'd have a long, long time of that influence being there.
And we keep hearing the Constitution is a living, breathing document. That's just code for I'll make up the law as I go and pretend it's in the Constitution.
You know, the only quote I can remember, and it was 8 years ago, And that was a candidate running who said the Constitution is a seriously flawed document, and he's now our president.
And yeah, that's right.
He did say that. I don't think he's a big supporter of that document.
I think he has more respect for toilet paper than the paper that Constitution is written.
Wow. Okay, folks, you heard it first from Bob.
I might as well get these zingers out while there's still a free country and we can still talk.
Hey, it's your show. I usually come on, say whatever I want, thinking, well, Bob will have to pay for it. But
hey, you know, Jim, we both love our fellow Christians, but let's be honest. Since you used to do a radio show that primarily scrutinized the church, and my show does that sometimes,
how do
we get our fellow Christians to think with their heads once in a while and not just with their hearts? When this stuff came out about Trump with the videos and we get these self-righteous, sanctimonious Christians. Oh, there's just no way I could vote for a man like that. I'm saying, fine. So you pat yourself on the back and feel good that you did what you consider the right thing, and you're going to sell our Supreme Court down the river just because you have some problems with somebody's sin, when the whole message of Christianity is we're supposed to forgive sin anyway. Yes, Trump is a flawed candidate. It pales compared to what this country is going to be like if he does not win.
You know, I wrote one of the first exposés I wrote when I finally got on Facebook. I went through every president in my lifetime and gave a little quick little blurb on the flaws that each one of them had. Yes, even Uncle Ron had some issues that I'm.
Oh, the Iran-Contra hostage deal. That was no credit to Ronald Reagan.
Well,
and I'm a big fan of Ronald Reagan, but I'll say
I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, right. Neither did he.
Yeah.
And, well, they gave me what they called plausible deniability.
Yeah. But and I loved him. He's probably been my favorite president in my lifetime. But all of them have had things in their closet. All of them have had to buy and sell. And so none of them have been perfect. You're right. But some are less perfect than others. Here's the problem. In answer to your question about the church, I have had great concern, and I say the American church because I don't have my finger on the pulse of much other than what I read and missionaries that I know. It's a different thing in the third world nations. Christians in Africa and places like that have a whole different experience than Americanized Christians, even Western. I know I have been to England, and I have friends in England. And so the Western church, what's happened is, first of all, the first problem is we've become biblically illiterate. So we don't have a measuring stick by which to gauge truth.
Or a measuring stick as to the kinds of people God can use. Who was a more flawed biblical character than Samson?
Well, definitely, yeah.
The guy walked around with his head in his behind, practically. He slept around with prostitutes. God still used him. Doesn't mean God approved of that. Doesn't mean the writers of the Bible approved of that. If God could use a Samson, he could use a Trump.
Yeah. Well, David was not perfect. David had, yeah. I think if David were in our culture, someone would put him in a 12-step program for sexual addiction.
Well, he committed adultery and murder to cover up the adultery. I'd say that disqualified him as having been a perfect king.
And if you read between the lines, or not even between the lines, at the end of his life, when he was on his deathbed, what they thought would be good comfort for him
was a woman. Yeah.
They brought a couple of young girls in to lay on him naked.
Boy, having your own personal electric blanket had a whole different meaning back in those days.
Yeah. The point being, no, he wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart, and he did repent when confronted with his failure.
He came clean. He didn't say divine adultery.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the list is long. The list is long. So, none of them are perfect, but I think, and we went through this, when in 76, Jimmy Carter was running, and I had friends say, well, he's a Christian. I said, great, if I need a Sunday school teacher, I'll give him a call.
Exactly, and I wish he'd have taught Sunday school rather than having become our president. We'll be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. WisdomWorks Christian Preschool.
'Cause he gets up in the morning, then he goes to work at 9, and he comes back home at 5:30, gets the same train every time. 'Cause his world is built on punctuality, it never fails. And he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind.
Okay, let's welcome back my friend Jim Barrier. Jim, you're not just a guest today. You are a game show contestant today. You've always done such a good job of guessing the bumper music on this program. I had Nick select some special zingers for you to see if you can guess them. Now, the outgoing pieces, the slower melodic ones are my own, but the incoming faster pieces, I replaced mine with some of these. So what are we here? Nick will be our judge and arbitrator.
Okay, well, first of all, that one's too easy. I knew it from the first strum of the guitar. I have recorded that song. It's well-respected man by the Kinks, front man Ray Davies, one of the greatest songwriters from the British Invasion, one of my all-time favorites.
Okay, I see Nick nodding.
Now,
do you also agree that he's one of the all-time greats, Nick, or do you just agree that he got the song correct?
No, he is definitely one of the all-time great songwriters. Ray Davies can't be beat.
All right. Well, since that was such an easy one, we just won't give you a point for that one. We'll start our points when they get harder.
I'll give you a point.
You know, Nick is wise beyond his years. That's what I would say.
Hell, you know, when you're right, you're right.
Nick is very wise, actually, and I say that honestly.
Yeah, good choice. One of my favorites, and I'm one for one so far. Now let's. I want to go back and finish on the thing about why do Christians seem so ignorant, illogical, or just whatever.
I might put it, why are Christians often so stupid?
Okay, I love the little thing in your break where it says you may have noticed Bob is mildly opinionated.
Not that I haven't done stupid things as a Christian too, but good grief, people, our freedom weighs in the balance. I don't care that Trump has a big mouth. There's bigger problems.
Well, and here, along with a biblical illiteracy, which I think leads to a wrong interpretation of truth and life in general. But there's a preacher I used to hear when I was just a young Christian, and he said the gospel that's being preached today is illogical, unphilosophical, uncreative, and half-baked. And that always and I thought that pretty well sums it up.
And it's all those things because it's not the gospel that's really biblical. It's not the one Jesus truly taught.
Yeah, so you have a whole lot of stuff that people are swallowing that's because it's man-centered. It's, it's all about you. God wants to bless you. God doesn't want you to feel bad. God loves everybody. Here's the thing that scares me. I have friends. These are people in ministry, preachers, pastors, and I follow their stuff, and there's a growing movement of this thing. It's really nothing new. There's an old thing that they call it universal reconciliation tape. It's universalism that basically says everybody's saved because Jesus died for everybody, so they're all saved, just not everybody knows that they're saved. And so there is no hell. There will be a brief time of purification, but everybody's going to have eternal life because Jesus died to purchase
that. Yeah, and I'm not wild about the doctrine of hell either, but when I read the Bible, what I'm doing is reading what it says, not what I want to believe. And Jesus not only talked about hell, he talked about hell more than he talked about heaven.
Yeah, it's certainly there is a difference, and there will be a separation on whatever judgment day is. I don't know what it is specifically, how that's going to happen, but there is something that will be a day when there will be a separation and different destinies for humanity. So that's a reality in the scripture. It's a reality in the gospel Jesus preached. And yet that people don't want to talk about that, but they kind of want to scratch that part out. I don't want to talk about it. It makes people feel uncomfortable.
Well, maybe I can make them a little more comfortable by pointing out that everything will be judged, including people that liked disco music. God will probably judge them, too. So it won't be a total loss, Judgment Day.
No, and as you know, I've said this for years, on Judgment Day, media goes first, present company excluded.
Yeah, yeah. Not this media. Not you and I.
But the other guys. No, but you know, there is a great distortion of truth that my wife coined the term years ago. She was reading a scripture. She said, oh, he's the prince in the power of the airwaves.
Yeah, yeah. The Bible does say prince in the power of the air. That's a good one.
Yeah. I
want to point out something to our Christian friends that are listening to you right now. If Trump's big mouth and your sensibilities are not a good match and you feel you just can't vote for such a crass, egotistical candidate, I don't disagree with your assessment of him, but I hope you saw the third debate where Donald Trump brought up the fact that Hillary Clinton accepts partial birth abortion. She did nothing to deny it. She defended it with a straight face. Ladies and gentlemen, you understand that partial birth abortion means you're delivering a baby when the baby could just as easily live outside of the womb. The baby's delivered part way, and they literally drill out parts of the baby's brain. This is the kind of stuff the Nazis did. And you're going to vote for somebody that would allow that because Trump has a big mouth? Folks, get a grip. Develop some perspective.
You know, it scares me, the potential. I really see this woman as a very vile person. Evil is not too strong of a word for me to use, and that's going to offend some people. But, you know, at this point, I'm all in, so I offend people. You know, I'll run that risk. You know, Jesus said they stoned the prophets. They killed those who were sent. You know, people don't like to hear the truth. They don't like something that's offensive. That they don't like something that calls them on their own selfishness and their own me-centered universe. And that's always been a problem. It was a problem in the Old Testament. It was a problem in Jesus' day. And it's a problem in our day. And so I have great fear for what this woman could do now that a foundation has been laid for 8 years. Now, having said that, earlier on in the broadcast, we talked about the notion of, you know, how could God allow this, and how are we left with these choices? I've been doing some teaching at our church about God disciplining nations. He disciplined Israel. Whenever Israel didn't follow him, if they followed the Baals or the Ashtaroth or, they, you know, went after false gods, he would discipline them. They spent much of their history in captivity, exile, overrun by their enemies. And he also would judge other nations, and that's in the scripture. You have the story of Nineveh, you have Tyre and Sidon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and places. It wasn't just Israel that God would judge.
Okay, so hold that thought. We'll talk about the way God judges nations when we return. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539,
WNS Electric.
Looking for a new book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Emily tries, but misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You'll lose your mind.
Okay, Jim, my friend, step right up and see if you can be two for two. I think Nick's playing even different ones than he shared with me. Are these different?
Are these the same ones I heard, Nick, or are these different ones?
I showed you this one.
Oh, you did? Okay. Shows how unfamiliar I am with it, but then I'm not playing the game.
Oh, well. British band. I'm just going to
Well, you can always tell it's British when they're singing like this. But
Yes. But because of all of the orchestration and all of that stuff, I'm going to go with Moody Blues. And I...
You're not too far off.
I'm not. Okay. Wow.
Okay, and the answer is...
Say that one more time, Jim.
Well, give me a clue or just tell me who it is.
They're a... This is from their earlier times. They were actually probably a bigger band in the 70s.
Pink Floyd?
There you go.
Very good.
That's the band.
Yeah, I thought that... But I was wrong. I said Moody Blues, but I get.
But you got the style, and you were close.
Pink Floyd, who I did see later on when they were more successful, I saw them, went up to L.A. and saw them perform The Wall. So
oh,
that
wow.
That was a biggie.
Yeah, that was the name of that tune was See Emily Play. It was from 1967. Lead vocals, Sid Barrett, who was only there for a couple of years.
Sid Barrett, who is... the original Pink Floyd. And by the way, David Bowie did a cover of See Emily Play. I don't know if you knew that, but
I didn't. And I'm a big David Bowie fan, and I didn't know that.
He did an album called Pinups, and it was all covers of British bands. Okay. Well, I've redeemed myself, hopefully.
Well, I'm so aware of how microscopic my knowledge of music is when I'm around the two of you.
You're just learning, Bob. That's all.
I'm just a young novice.
Well, a novice, perhaps. A young one.
A young 63-year-old novice, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Age is but a number.
Right, exactly.
So I'm back. This is great how we can just roll right back. I think that there's a possibility that God is trying to get this nation's attention. Now, I want to qualify this because I talked about this morning. The United States of America is not the apple of God's eye.
Yeah, we talked about this when you came on last time. America's not the new Israel.
No.
The church is God's people, but God still cares about what America or any nation is doing.
Yes, and I think some of this possibly could fall under the heading of disciplinary action. I've always kind of felt the notion that God will give you the government you deserve. If you're not faithful to what he's given you, he will take away what has been given if you're not a good steward of it. And so it's possible that some of this dilemma we're facing is to get our attention so that the people of God in this country might really turn to him and legitimately follow him and seek his counsel and try to hear his voice and live accordingly. So that's a possibility.
And not just vote
mind.
For the person that looks nicer, smiles more, and use the word compassion more, because Jesus would have called that straining out the gnat and swallowing a camel.
Yeah. And with all this, of course, we live in such a strange time now. You know, you think there are certain people I don't know if Teddy Roosevelt would have come across so well on television, or Harry Truman, though, you know, there were, they did have films and stuff, but some of the guys, some of the presidents that we've had back in history were not great, warm, fuzzy personalities. Some of them were very abrasive, and some of them, you know, I think would have been, had the same type of problem.
Well, ordering the destruction of Hiroshima and then claiming he slept well that night, I can't imagine that going over too well today.
I really can't. So it's a different time. It's a different age. And of course, there is the, it seems like the conservative faction in this country is far outweighed when it comes to television, which is, and the internet, where most people get their information, you know, and so I think we're up against great opposition as far as the spin and the things that are reported. And they frankly just will ignore certain stories, and they will not report the whole truth and nothing.
Oh, well,
but
look at, we've had something like 10,000 of these WikiLeaks that have confirmed everything we've ever suspected or already knew about Hillary Clinton, but we have it in writing. And they're giving 90% of their attention to the alleged, only alleged scandals of Donald Trump. It's outrageous. Yeah. And, you know, with all the outrageous things that Donald Trump says, the one he's getting into the most trouble for right now is not his most outrageous point. When he says we should be careful about election fraud, we should. And Barack Obama just needles him. And it rakes him over the coals, calling him paranoid. But back in 2008, Obama was warning us about election fraud. But of course, that was different because that was Obama's election.
And Al Gore, paging Mr. Gore, before he invented global warming, you know, he took it to court. He protested. He whined and cried and threw a tantrum and really tried to steal that election.
Well, let's pinpoint it accurately. The year was 2000. It was before he invented global warming, but it was after he invented the internet.
Exactly, yeah. Because he is one of the great inventors of our time.
The debate is over.
Yeah. And there's always been a double standard. But what pains me, and that's nothing new in politics, what pains me is the incredible slant that there is in the media. And frankly, I have Christian friends. I'm not to judge whether they're Christian or not.
People can get saved even though they're stupid. I believe they're probably Christians.
I have a good friend of mine. She says, I'm so excited I'm voting for Hillary because we're finally going to have a female president.
Oh, good.
And I said, that's
grief.
Your reasoning?
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if she was supporting Sarah Palin as one of the first nominees for vice president as a woman.
No, probably not, because everybody knows that Sarah Palin was stupid.
And she wasn't a real woman, because she wasn't for abortion. So they just make this stuff up as they go.
Yeah, but I mean, she's passionate about it.
I'd love to have a woman president. Carly Fiorina was way toward the top of my list, way above Trump. But didn't get the nomination.
Didn't. And so it's not about that for me. I was proud on one level that our country was able to elect a person of color to the presidency. It wasn't my choice. There are a lot of other Afro-American.
Oh, would that it have been a Ben Carson rather than what we got?
Ben Carson, you know, tell you a person I like, it's both. I like Condoleezza Rice. You know, she's
pretty moderate, but she would have been a distinct improvement. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Bob Segal. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church.
Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Jim, my good friend, take a shot.
You know what, Nick? You win.
Oh, my gosh. We stumped him.
Wow.
You have stumped. You've stumped the stars.
Well, now we have dead air. Better tell them what it
All
is,
right.
Nick.
It is Love's Gone Bad by Chris Clark from 1966. And if it sounded like it was a Motown song, it's because it was a Motown song. It just wasn't one of the ones that dominated the pop charts.
Wowie, wow, wow, wow. I'm going to have to dig that one up and find it because I kind of like it.
Oh, it is a great song.
Okay, well, Nick, you're way out of my league, pal.
No. I just got you this once, that's all.
Where do old songs go to heaven? On YouTube or with Nick?
Oh, man, that's a great one. now, are we coming in on our final segment here?
No, we're at the beginning of our last two segments right now.
Okay. I'm very concerned about the direction that our nation is going, but I am not without hope. And
now, do you mean the kind of hope that God will be God and will be on his throne no matter what happens, or the kind of hope that maybe Trump will pull this thing out?
You know, that's too shallow for me. I mean, I'm greatly concerned. I do not want to see Hillary get elected, but we have to have a bigger picture, and we have to understand that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, dominions, spiritual wickedness in high places, that behind all of this stuff we see in the natural realm, there is a spiritual war going on for the soul of this country. And so the answer for me, yes, I will vote. I've voted in every election since I turned 18, and I will vote my conscience. I try to be educated. I'm going to go tomorrow and do early voting. But more than vote, I have to pray. You know, God, get the hearts of your people, get the ear of your people. And, you know, I said this, I told you I was invited to do an opening prayer for a fairly conservative group here regionally. And so they said, would you come do the opening prayer? I said, well, sure. And in that, I said, our hope is not on Capitol Hill. It's on Calvary Hill.
That's very well said. Yes, God will be on his throne and the universe will not cease to exist.
And I said, judgment does not begin in the White House. It begins in God's house.
Absolutely. But you know, it's interesting.
Stone silent, Bob. And they never asked me back.
Well, you made the mistake of speaking the truth while you prayed. Now, getting back to the warfare, now this is something that somebody that's not a believing Christian listening to might have trouble taking seriously. But what Jim means specifically is that there are these evil entities, these evil spiritual beings that exist in another dimension and have access to human minds and can deliver some of their ideas. And if you want some evidence that that's going on, because these entities hate Christianity, they don't want to see anyone turn their life over to Jesus Christ, look for the remarkable inconsistencies. Why is it considered hate speech in so many countries now to speak against Islam, but it's not considered hate speech to speak against Christianity? Christianity is kind of the last bastion of free-for-all, say whatever you want about Christians these days. Mm-hmm. That ought to suggest to somebody that something unusual is going on behind the curtain.
Yeah, and it is a hard thing for someone who is not of the same faith that you and I are to talk about that. But on the other hand, our culture is just obsessed with paranormal, supernatural. We love TV shows and movies about zombies and vampires and people who can do telekinesis and all that kind of stuff. And that fascinates people. Just leave Jesus out of it.
Yeah, and I can testify firsthand. I'm somebody that's actually been involved in deliverance ministries. I have actually cast demons out of people.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, folks, but they actually do exist.
Yeah.
And if you were to look into this, you could make the same discovery, hopefully discovering it in the correct way, not by being the victim of a demon, but by learning what their methods are. The Bible says regarding Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices.
Right. And it says he will come as an angel of light. I don't think the devil ever shows up at anybody's doorstep in red PJs with a pitchfork and says, "Here, I'm here to destroy your soul."
If he knows we're so dumb that all he has to do is use the words compassion and tolerance, and then he can sell anything like the Pied Piper, well, then of course he's going to do that. Of course he comes as an angel of light.
Yeah, and if you look at the accounts that are given in the Bible, whether you take it literally or not, I happen to take it literally, but in the exchange in the Garden of Eden, in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he will use partial truth.
That's right. When he tempted Jesus, and Jesus didn't give in to the temptation, he quoted Scripture out of context.
He quoted Scripture, yeah. So he's very, very subtle, very, very seductive. And I do believe that there is an evil person, a real person. I don't think he's equal power with God. I'm not...
No, it's not a negative God. It is a subordinate creature that rebelled against God.
Yeah, who is very powerful, but he's not all-knowing. And because of what we see revealed in the New Testament, especially in the teachings of Jesus and his disciples, if we are in submission to Jesus Christ, under his authority and in his name, somewhat like a police officer can flash his badge and say, "Stop, in the name of the law, there is authority." And people do recognize that authority. And so there is authority if you are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So now I've preached a sermon on Sunday night, kids.
It's good to have that perspective. We've talked about the election a lot recently, and it's good to look at what's going on behind the curtain. We'll be right back.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, Our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs. Give me a call. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives, all area, 619-401-2150. That's 619-401-2150 or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
What better review of a book than to check with the customers themselves? Here is a recent customer review of Bob Siegel's fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Superior. As a middle school teacher, I am a prolific reader of juvenile fiction and an even tougher critic of the genre. With that said, I experienced sheer delight in reading the page-turner, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament by Bob Siegel. Mike, the sixth-grade protagonist in the story, is a well-drawn character with all the weaknesses and strengths of a 12-year-old. Mike's e-ticket adventure engages the reader with his shenanigans of making his veggies disappear, cat talk, and creating a twin who doubles for him. Not only that, Bob Siegel skillfully weaves a subtle moral message with the metaphoric thread, which encourages a kid to be the best version of himself, all the while addressing the various angst of preteens. Finally, I was captivated to the last page, but disappointed when the Christmas ride of the magical ornament came to a satisfying conclusion. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jim, here's your last one. What do you say?
You threw me a bone because I mentioned David Bowie earlier, who did a cover of the Pink Floyd song See Emily Play, and so that's the great David Bowie.
Okay, actually, that was not a bone, though. Nick had that one lined up and played it for me. I had to kind of bite my gums when you were mentioning David Bowie earlier because I knew we had him in the wings for you.
Yeah. Well, it just means that we are on a similar wavelength, and I appreciate it, Nick. Great job, sir.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I love matching wits with other music lovers. It is a passion of mine.
Well, you are excellent at it, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for being a good sport.
Okay. So Bob, here we are closing in on a very, very important election. And something that will affect, I think, this country for years to come. I have said this. I predict that whatever happens, a great portion of the country is going to be furious. They're going to be screaming, kicking, suing, protesting, rioting. And another great portion is going to be rejoicing that the person they hated so much didn't get elected.
Yeah, and for all their ridiculing Republicans for being concerned about election fraud, if Donald Trump wins, you can just bet. Does anybody think for 1 minute that the Democrats won't scream election fraud? We'll hear that African Americans weren't allowed at the polls. We'll hear that since the election results didn't match up with their pre-polling, that there must be something fishy going on. It'll go on. And these are the ones that have judges commanding and issuing to states that they're not allowed to ask for voter ID.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess no matter what happens. But I think we've pretty well established where you and I are at on this one, and I'm going to do what I have to do. By the way, I'm just going to throw this thing out because I have a lot of Christian friends that are saying, well, I'm not going to vote for either one because
both... that sounds so sanctimonious and righteous when they say that.
Yeah, and I'm going to vote for a third-party candidate. Kids, at the presidential level, a third-party candidate cannot win the presidency. Occasional, rare, local people win elections for the Libertarians or whoever, but in the presidential level, at this stage in our history, a third-party candidate will not win, and so you are just making a protest, and you are throwing your vote away. You know, when George W. Bush beat Al Gore, a lot of people say because Ralph Nader ran, he took votes away from Al Gore. And then the same thing was said that when old goofball boy here from Texas.
Ross Perot took away from George Bush Sr. and put Bill Clinton in office.
Senior. And so the third party, what they really are going to do is hand over enough votes to sway the election many times. So please don't throw your vote away, or please don't say, well, I'm just not going to vote because it doesn't matter. It does matter.
It'll sound good. It'll make you feel better. And that will be the only benefit, because we will no longer be the United States of America. We'll be called the United States of America, and we'll still be on the map. Yeah, perhaps. We might be called the Sensitive States of America.
There's a lot of folks out here where I live that would like to secede from the Union and just have...
Hey, listen, I'm seriously considering moving to Texas.
Well, I'll tell you, compared to where you live and where I used to live, it's two different worlds, brother.
I never thought there was... there's certainly not much in the topography of Texas that interests me. I'd love California, but I'm speaking geographically, not socially and politically.
The truth is, the economy's pretty good out here. People have some kind of common sense, which seems to be uncommon these days. There is a respect for life. There is a respect for personal rights and the things guaranteed by the amendments of the Constitution. There is a lot of that out here, and things that seem to have left the West Coast some time ago.
Well, so we're not called the Left Coast for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think they'll ever secede, but I think there are people that would jump on that bandwagon in a heartbeat.
Well, if we have half the country realizing we're not living constitutionally, that could happen. The problem is, the minute you think of a secession, we think of the Civil War. And in the case of the Civil War, obviously, any decent thinking person realizes that the people that seceded before the Civil War were not doing the right thing. But it would be over a whole different cause this time. And that has to happen when people in countries disagree with each other.
Sometimes they do. I think we are in a civil war. It's just a bulletless one.
Yeah, at the moment. And then we've learned on the WikiLeaks that a lot of these spontaneous riots have not been that spontaneous, that Hillary Clinton's people were going into Trump rallies and trying to get the violence stirred up. But nobody's paying any attention to that. Why? Because Trump opened his mouth and said something dumb. So that'll get 90% of the coverage.
He's made it easy for her. He's made it an easy target for that kind of stuff. But I'm going to vote tomorrow. I'm going to vote my conscience, and I'm going to vote for what I think is the best thing for this country, which I dearly love. For all the criticism and everything, I do love this country, and I have traveled around the world. There's no place else I'd rather live.
Yeah, and
bad as it is.
And I agree that Trump makes it easy for them, but folks... let's be clear, no matter who the Republicans nominated, that person would have been vilified. They vilified Romney the same way.
Everyone
would have been a rich mogul who doesn't care about the poor, doesn't pay his fair share. George Bush was compared to Hitler almost every single day during the 8 years he was in office. So, Trump makes it easier, but they were going to vilify whoever went against Hillary Clinton because she has a well-oiled hit machine.
Yeah. Well, I just pray that things will turn out well. I won't see you until after the election or talk to you on the show until afterwards.
Well, we should make a pact right now to give each other either a congratulations call or a condolence call the night of the election.
Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Well, you know what? Rejoicing or not rejoicing, it's always good to be with you, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Bob.
Okay, life will go on. We'll see you after the Great Divide.
And thanks, Nick.
He's nodding. Bye-bye, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.